Hello, kind-hearted viewers, and welcome to Vegetarian Elite. This week, we are featuring the humanitarian achievements of the Honorable Glenn Douglas Pearson, a member of the Canadian Parliament who has represented London North Centre, a district in the province of Ontario, since 2006. An esteemed philanthropist and a vegetarian, Mr. Pearson has devoted his life to helping those in need, both at home and abroad.
I think being a firefighter or a food bank director or working in Africa the way that I've had has helped me to not fit into those little boxes. That whatever it would take to be able to assist people wherever it is that you're doing it, your ability to be able to move outside of these little narrow channels or these silos, I think has helped me to get a number of things done. So it's allowed the Prime Minister and I, for instance, to work on certain things about Africa. It's allowed me to work with other parties on issues about poverty or things like that in Canada, or climate change, which I've felt is really important.
Before entering politics in 2006, this distinguished gentleman spent 29 years as a firefighter and was the captain of London, Ontario's fire department. He founded the London Food Bank, which provides food to those in need in London and surrounding communities. For nearly 25 years, Glenn Pearson has served as the organization's executive director. Since 2008, the food bank has distributed more than 640,000 kilograms of food worth nearly $3 million US, all of which was donated by local residents and businesses.
Now we're helping 3,500 people a month. When I first started the food bank 24 years ago, we were helping like 300 people a month, right? People donate food to food banks, and it's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to see communities respond and help.
Mr. Pearson has also long been concerned for the welfare of those in developing nations. In 1998, he founded a charity called Canadian Aid for Southern Sudan. As the organization's name suggests, this group is helping the people of Southern Sudan rebuild their lives after many years of regional instability through such activities as rehabilitating child soldiers and promoting human rights.
We initially went in 1998 to Sudan, and every time we went over, which was four or five times a year, we always took media with us. So we took CNN, we took CBC, we took Maclean's magazine, CTV and others, because we were trying to get them to tell the story. Eventually it became a very successful program. So we were asked by the Southern Sudanese provisional government if we would now begin the process of building schools and medical clinics. So starting in about 2003, we started to do that. And then in 2005, the Prime Minister at the time here in Canada asked my wife and I to go as a Canadian observers to the peace talks between North and South Sudan, which we did. Those peace talks eventually became successful.
In 2001, Glenn Pearson and his wife, Jane Roy, adopted an orphaned Sudanese baby girl named Abuk. 5 years after that, the couple also adopted Abuk's long-lost siblings, her twin sister Akin and older brother Ader. This profoundly loving act won the hearts of the people of South Sudan.
The people of South Sudan don't see me as an MP. They call me Wunabuk, which means I'm the father of the little girl Abuk, who we'd initially adopted there. And then we found her brother and sister, who we also adopted from there. But they still see me as a regular guy who comes over to try to be with them. As an MP, I've done my best to draw attention to the situation.
As a Member of Parliament, Glenn Pearson has made those at the highest levels of the Canadian government aware of the conditions in Southern Sudan and the residents' need for assistance.
I had just got elected 3 days before I went to Darfur, and we saw 100,000 of these Darfuris come out of Darfur into South Sudan, into the region where we had worked for 10 years. Mm-hmm. And they were overrunning the system. Mm-hmm. And I suddenly realized they were coming and trying to find food or whatever it was, but we had no capacity to help them. We were no big group. But suddenly, everything was in jeopardy because of all these new people coming in. So my very first speech in the House was when I immediately came back. I'd just been elected. Nobody really knew who I was. Mm-hmm. And I stood up and gave a speech directly to the Prime Minister telling him what had happened and asking for $6 million to help these people. He ended up responding to that by giving us $3 million. And we were able to alleviate much of the concern that was there.
The Honorable Glenn Douglas Pearson is a member of the House of Commons Standing Committee on Foreign Affairs and International Development. As a visionary leader, what is Mr. Pearson's top concern for Canadians and the rest of the world?
The biggest danger that we're facing right now of anything that we do in Ottawa, it's climate change. It is the biggest thing by far that we will ever face as a human race. And I think I'm really worried about it, in all honesty. I'm worried about that more than I'm worried about anything else as an MP.
As seen in Darfur, a region in Western Sudan, the consequences of climate change have far-reaching and devastating effects. Sudanese and Chadian officials estimate that the amount of rain the parched area receives annually has dropped 40% over the past 50 years.
My synopsis of it would be, yes, we got a real serious problem. Back in 1980, the United Nations International Climate Change Group Environmental Program did a study on Darfur, and they determined that by the year 2000, Darfur would be in conflict because they had no water and they couldn't grow crops anymore. The people who are coming out of Darfur into the area in which we work, they're not complaining so much about the political situation. They're complaining that they can't find crops. They complain that they can't find water. Lake Chad has dried up. It supplied that whole region with water for millennia, right? Traditionally, people got their water from there. Now they can't anymore. The rains are coming sometimes 3 or 4 weeks later, and they dry up faster. My experience in Africa has taught me that just since we started going there in 1998, the wells are now about 6 feet lower than they were before. Much of that water is polluted now, because the cattle come into the rivers. The rains are coming far later, right? People can't grow crops anymore.
Climate change refugees are people displaced from their homes due to the effects of global warming. The International Organization for Migration, an intergovernmental entity with 127 member states, estimates that currently there are 24 million climate change refugees worldwide.
So what we're creating here is a situation not just in Africa, but in Asia, especially the coastal regions, where the United Nations has estimated that 230 million people will become climate change refugees by the year 2070. Over 200 million people will be traveling, moving. They're not going to know where the borders are, right? They're just going to go to the region where these things are needed. And we continue to ignore this as Western governments. We continue to say, well, we'll build schools in Sudan, right, or we'll help out in Rwanda with a water project or whatever it is, rather than realizing that we have a major problem on our hands. Mm-hmm. We are in far more danger from climate change than we will ever be from one nuclear weapon, mm-hmm. right? If I really believe in helping the people of Africa, I won't just build them a school. Mm-hmm. I'll stop pumping carbon into the air, because that's the place where it affects the most. So I better start becoming a much more holistic Canadian and stop talking about that I really care about Africa unless I will also fight for climate change, because then in the end, that climate change will produce 230 million refugees, and I'm really scared about that.
The cycle of producing and consuming animal products causes more than 51% of all human-caused global greenhouse gas emissions. The United Nations Environment Program has recommended a worldwide shift to a plant-based diet to halt global warming. The Canadian government, likewise, is becoming increasingly concerned about the food that its citizens consume.
You know, when I first came, and 4 years ago, the discussion of food policy was hardly mentioned. But now I think people are beginning to look at it for two different reasons. One is, what's better food for us? Because we're realizing about type 2 diabetes and all of these things that happen, that junk food isn't good. But the second thing is how much energy does it go into making that food?
We asked Mr. Pearson about the use of national legislation in Canada to promote the consumption of plant-based foods for the sake of health, environment, and animal welfare.
What you can do is incentivize it. So if in buying a certain product, it's cheaper, right? Or it allows discounts on other kinds of food. If there's ways in which my health plan receives special kind of coverage because I live responsibly because of the stuff that I eat, I think that that's a great thing. I think what we can do is make it much cheaper for a person to eat something that's better for them.
Mr. Pearson shares a parting thought about the condition of our planet and the need for humanity to come together.
So I think, you know, if I have any effect as a politician, it's more that although I am a member of the Liberal Party, humanity is bigger than the Liberals. And if there are humans in need, or if there's a planet in need, no Liberal answer is going to do it. And no Conservative answer is going to do it. It's only all of us pulling together in the same direction that will make the difference.
At the end of our interview, the Honorable Glenn Pearson also offered warm words of gratitude to Supreme Master Ching Hai, who has donated over $450,000 in comforting aid for the Sudanese people through the years.
Heard about Supreme Master Ching Hai and all that she has done around the world, and especially in areas like Darfur and other places with emergency funding and other things that she supplied. As somebody who has three children from Darfur, as somebody who's done a lot of work in Africa, I can't tell you how much this means to people like me. As a humble political servant who has children from Darfur, if it wasn't for you and what you do, kids like mine would not be alive. So I just want to thank you for it, and I just want you to know it means a lot to me that people like you are out there in this world. We've never met, but we have the same kind of heart, and I just thank you so much, and I want to especially recognize you for all that you have done.
Many thanks to you, the Honorable Glenn Pearson, and all others who sincerely devote their lives to bettering our world. We wish you great success in all your future noble endeavors, especially in raising awareness of the urgency of climate change. For more details on the Honorable Glenn Pearson, please visit www.glennpearson.ca. Conscientious viewers, we appreciate your company on today's Vegetarian Elite. Between Master and Disciples is up next on Supreme Master Television. May all beings be blessed by heaven with abundance and tranquility. For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/VE.